turn in Holy Scripture this evening to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them alike, are both abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is naught, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth a wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. I call your attention this evening to verse 24 of Proverbs 20. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of this text follow closely upon the truth that we considered together Sunday morning. And the text sets forth a truth that all men have difficulty with. God's absolute sovereignty and government over against man's absolute dependence and helplessness. That's the principle of the whole of man's existence. And as we look back on the year 2013, that's what we must see. that another year has passed is a fact of great significance in itself. For another whole year, the earth has sped towards its end, as it were. We've progressed in time closer to the day of our Lord's return, and we've all traveled on the way to that end. Every moment of the year past, God has been drawing us closer and closer to that end. There's one line in this life, and that line leads to death. Death, which is the victory for all who believe. Some whom we knew and loved reached the end of that line this past year and were taken to everlasting glory out of the struggles of this earthly existence. But that there is one line in this life also means that that one line leads to that everlasting state that will finally be established perfectly in the day of days when our Lord Jesus Christ returns and judges the whole world in righteousness, establishing the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness shall dwell, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3. But we must see yet more. When we stop this evening and give thought to those many days of this past year, 365 days, we see also that this past year was filled with events and activities. The writer to the Proverbs speaks of steps that have been taken. Well, you and I can't even begin to recount the number of steps that we have taken in the past year. I couldn't even begin to recount the actions of my life from day to day in the year past. Every moment of every day and every night was filled with activity. There was not another step that could possibly have been taken in the year gone by. It was filled, whether in your waking hours or in your sleeping. It was filled with your experiences, your joys, your sorrows, your actions, your thoughts, your labors, your sickness, your health. How this year has been filled. You were busy not only outwardly, but in your mind. Even in your souls, which hungered and thirsted after righteousness and the word of God, you were busy thirsting, thinking. You were busy hearing and listening, praying and desiring every step of the year, filled with experiences and activities. And what is your evaluation of everything that took place? What motivated you? What was your purpose? What is the goal toward which you've been reaching? Was there a purpose in all that took place? Did you walk haphazardly, all for nothing? The answer we find in the words of Proverbs 20, verse 24. That answer is astounding. While man acts, while you and I often act as if we were the master of our own purpose, as if our goings were of our own making, God tells us that every step a person takes is from Him, from God. And what does a man understand of his own way? For a few minutes this evening, I call your attention to this text as a fitting conclusion to our thoughts on the year 2013, the way of man. We notice the meaning of that way, the mystery of that way, and the comfort in that way. The meaning, the mystery, and the comfort of the way of man. In order to get a hold on the meaning of this text, it's necessary to see the picture that's painted here in the Hebrew language. The inspired Solomon speaks of a man's life under the figure of a man who's traveling. And as always, when the Bible speaks in terms of the way, there is in that figure at least three ideas. There's first of all, the thought of direction to that way. A way is a path that leads to a certain place. And when the Bible speaks of man's life as a way, it's emphasizing that we're not running around in circles, but we're traveling a specific direction. In the second place, there is in that idea of man traveling on a way, the thought of a goal. Man's journey on that way is not endless. He goes in a certain direction, but his journey isn't endless. Whether wicked or righteous, he travels toward a particular goal. And thirdly, there's constant progress made by a man traveling on that way to that certain goal. At times that progress may appear to be very slow, undiscernible even. But when the Bible speaks of the way of man, it makes very clear man never stands still. And that's certainly true when you review the year just gone by. How we have traveled. Oh, another whole year is gone. Much has taken place during that journey, few miles down that way. There's been constant progress in our journey toward that goal. But the writer of the Proverbs speaks not only of man's journey in terms of a way, he also speaks of the steps along that way. That's the meaning of the first clause of the verse, which the Authorized Version translates by the phrase man's going. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, that same word is used where you read, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And the idea here is that of a soldier marching in cadence, every step taken very methodically at the count of the commander, every step deliberately taken. Forward we move, step by step, to that end that God has placed before us. Now you understand, when the text makes that distinction between the way and the steps on that way, the point is that the steps are the individual actions of the person traveling that way. At any given moment, you take a step on this way that leads to that goal. Everything that crosses your mind, every thought you think, every thing you meditate upon, every motive is a step. But in addition, besides those steps you take unseen by others, there are those steps taken before the eyes of those around us. The fact that you came here this evening and took your place in the midst of God's people was a step that the inspired writer speaks about in the words of our text. Every word you speak is a step. And so it is with every person. Everyone speaks, whether by cursing or praising God, man speaks. You see, you hear, you take action. You step back from taking action. On and on, those steps multiply. And certainly we would say some steps are more prominent than others. Some we might look at as giant leaps. Others as steps barely distinguishable from a mere shuffling along. But taken together, all those steps taken by an individual make up his way from beginning to end. But then there's something else that we have to notice in connection with the text and the figure set before us, and that is this. The way and the steps of a man are related. Not only are all the individual steps that we take linked together to form the way that each of us must walk, but one's individual steps are linked with the steps of another. We are together on this way. You don't walk down a particular pathway parallel to the pathway I walk down. The ways of men are not like millions of parallel lines running alongside each other, but separate from each other. Rather, and you can see that so clearly, the way and the steps of one often determine the way and the steps of another. And that's clear from Scripture. The imputation of Adam's guilt to the whole human race determined the way of every man, woman, and child that walk on the face of this earth. His one act of sin, we are told in Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15, to mention but two passages, his one act determined the step and steps and the way of all men. By that one deed, every person is affected, so that every person is born in sin and iniquity. So the consequence is, not one person can do what is right in God's eyes, can do the good, and all are inclined to do the evil. If you children look over your way, then you will see, as we adults see, that your way is largely determined for you by your father and mother. They determine where I would go to school, the church in which I would be brought up. It wasn't this church. They determine the discipline I would receive, the way it was administered, the kinds of food I would eat, and so on and so forth. Most often, the way a child walks reflects upon the upbringing that his or her parents gave. The way that I walk and the steps that I take affect you. I know that. It makes me tremble, I'll tell you. God has given me a tremendous responsibility. That's why Paul gave me the charge when he wrote to Titus in Titus 2, verses 7 and 8, exhort in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The steps you take affect those around you. That's clear from the Bible. That's why Paul writes to the Corinthians, urging the importance of Christian discipline in the church, for the love of the church and the sinner. Why? He says, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's the influence a person can have on an entire congregation. Peer pressure is very real. Young man, young woman, you'd better understand that. You better realize the steps you take affect others. So what steps are you taking? Are they steps that serve to build up your brothers and sisters in the faith? To strengthen them in their Christian life? God forbid that you lead even one astray. And so the steps of individuals affect the life of the world as a whole. Think of history. How many steps were not determined by the actions of such men as Alexander the Great and Napoleon and Hitler and Stalin and George W. Bush and Barack Obama? And think, for example, of the wars that young men of this country have fought in and sacrificed limbs and lives for. Now the text says, of the way and the steps of man, that it is a mystery. What does a man understand of his way is really a rhetorical question. Which is really to say, no person understands the way. The word translated understand, how can a man then understand his own way, means to distinguish, to discern. He doesn't see how each individual step he takes fits together and makes up a particular way down which he walks. That's true of you and me. You don't discern your way. You may think you do. James speaks in the 4th chapter of his epistle of those who thought they knew the way. And as I recall, we began our year considering this text in James 4. They said, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And we make plans just like that sometimes, don't we? Next month I'm going to close that deal. So I'll do this and I'll invest here and there. What does James say? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You and I are constantly walking down the road, which is this life. But we can't see the road ahead. And if you look back over this past year, is not that exactly what you see? We didn't know what the next day would bring. Or to state it more properly, we had no idea where God would lead us in that next day. It's as if we're constantly driving down the road of this life in a dense fog. You can see a little. With your spiritual light, and even with those remnants of natural light, you can see a few steps ahead. And you can see something of the consequences of your action. Otherwise, you wouldn't even dare take a step. if you couldn't see anything, you would be just as paralyzed in your walk as if you were driving through the mountains in a fog and your headlights went out. Always you can see a little. Sometimes that fog lifts just enough you can see a little farther ahead. But you never see more than a little ways down that road on which you travel. That's evident from Scripture. That's our own experience too. When Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to find a wife for Isaac, he had no idea the way of God's leading. Abraham lived by faith and in light of God's word of promise so that he stepped in obedience when he sent his servant to the land of Canaan, telling him that Isaac may not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. But Abraham didn't know the way in which God would lead his son a wife or who she would be. And so, from our own experience, at least as husbands and wives, God leads us as in ways that weren't even imagined by us. Sometimes even through our sinful motives, and sometimes through our sinful steps, God led us down a certain way. The same is true when Joseph's brothers wickedly sold him as a slave. They knew nothing about the way. All they knew is that they were getting rid of that miserable brother that they hated. But that act would eventually lead Joseph to the glory of a place alongside Pharaoh and lead to the salvation of God's church through a time of great famine. They wouldn't have even dreamed of that. They saw only a few feet in front of them, never receiving even a glimpse of the way in which their steps would lead, forgetting all about Joseph's dreams, of course, as a child. Or to mention another Old Testament example, when wicked Haman's plan for his own glory and the destruction of the Jews was the first step of his own ruin and the salvation of God's people. Who would have thought it? When Judas Iscariot sold Jesus into the hands of wicked men, what do you suppose he saw? That's right, he saw 30 pieces of silver. That's what he saw. He saw his own gain. He didn't see the way that God was working to bring about the shedding of the blood of atonement and the salvation of the church. He saw nothing of it. His conscience told him that he was condemned in his action. No question about it. That's why Judas Iscariot went out and hanged himself. But no man understands his way. And that's true for you and me. Have you seen that in this year past? In some of the steps of your own life, where God led you, through the trials. If you continue to talk about the great things you're going to do, you haven't learned it yet. Hear the word of God. The way of man is a mystery. The curtain, which is the future, hangs right before your face. And the truth of this is exaggerated by the fact that we live in the midst of death. next step might take us to the grave. But we go on. And we travel that mysterious way. Now hear this. The point of the text is that man's way is a mystery because it's not his own, but his steps are determined by Jehovah. That's an amazing truth. No question about it. It's something very difficult to swallow for us who pride ourselves in our independence. But my steps and yours and the steps taken by all men are of Jehovah. That's the emphasis of this text. It's striking that in the Hebrew, you have two different words for man. The second word is a very general term which is often used to denote the whole human race. But in the first part of the text, which speaks of man's steps being of Jehovah, the word there is a word that speaks of a man in his strength. You see, the idea here is not limited to the man who's lying on a bed in a nursing home and of whom we might find it easy to say his steps are of Jehovah. The text is speaking of a man who is very active, who's strong, who even occupies a prominent place. We might even look upon such a man as quite independent. He does what he wants, we say. But of such a man, God says, his steps are of me. And nor does the text before us stand alone in Holy Scripture. It's not like we're pulling out of this one text a truth that you don't find elsewhere in the Bible. The whole Bible expresses this truth. The truth stands before us in all its meaning throughout the Scripture. God is almighty, sovereign. That's what we've seen in the year 2013 with the spiritual eyes of faith that God has given us. Now, it's also true that a man's steps are his own. Your steps are not of Jehovah in the sense that he forces you against your will to take those steps. As a rational, moral creature, you choose the steps you take. And step by step, you are responsible before God for all your actions, your thoughts, words, and deeds, and motives, but nevertheless, your activity and your responsibility, they don't stand side by side with the rule of God. Jehovah God has a righteous hand in the most unrighteous actions of men. He controls the way and every step of the way. I mentioned the example of Judas Iscariot. We read in Acts 4, verse 26, as we heard Sunday, that the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. They sat there deliberating, contriving, but all under the watchful eye of God, who laughed in mockery at their wicked imaginations. So we read in Psalm 2, and without suspending the freedom of their wills, remember, a freedom only to exercise wickedness, a freedom only in harmony with their fallen nature, God determined them to carry out his holy, unchangeable purpose. They were gathered together. How were they gathered? For to do whatsoever thy will and thy counsel determined before to be done. All must fit God's purpose. God controls everything. As we saw in our consideration of the truth of God's providence. Yes, from a certain point of view, especially looking at it from our own sinful perspective, this is a difficult truth. For us who like to think that we're in control of things, we guide our own way, this is difficult to swallow. But this amazing truth rings throughout Scripture. You confess that as you look back over the past year? And is that what you confess when you look into the fog, which is the year 2014? Every step is of the Lord. And therefore man cannot know his own way. God is God. Amazing, isn't it? But people of God, that truth is a tremendous comfort too, isn't it? To us who believe. What comfort is mine when I can leave the steps of all men with Jehovah God? When I can look back over every step that I took this past year, and know that it was taken toward everlasting glory. When I can see Jehovah leading me repeatedly for his name's sake to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where I might know the forgiveness of those wayward steps, then I have peace. What did all our steps accomplish, beloved? When every act and every motive shall be uncovered in the day of judgment, isn't it wonderful to know that every step was determined by God to his glory and to our salvation, and to teach us and to lead us on the pathway to heaven? No, apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no comfort. Because apart from Christ, we might only know that every step determined is one more step toward hell. Those who take their steps apart from Christ, they're described in Psalm 73. They're described as those set in slippery places. The Lord cast them down into destruction. Only when we stand in Christ do we know that if the Lord controls the way, even though we don't understand it, that way leads through death to everlasting glory in Jesus Christ our Lord. And in joy, I confess, and you with me, that Jehovah arranges all things to the glory of his own name in Jesus Christ. That glory has to shine through his church. If those steps were not of Jehovah, we'd have no comfort. how many trials didn't we face this past year? How many sorrows? Sorrows that many are still going through. And little do we know what lies before us in 2014. We depart from here in a few minutes, not understanding our way, not knowing what an hour may bring. Joseph, in taking that walk to search for his brethren, never anticipated that he would be separated from his father for more than 20 years. How shall we face the unknown steps and the ways of tonight, of next week, of next year? A conviction of the truth set before us this evening will give us a conscious dependence upon Jehovah our God. We need not look at the darkness of tomorrow with a constant trembling anxiety. No, no. Hear the promise of God as he speaks through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known." That's what God does with us. But does he leave us then in darkness and doubt? No. "I will make the darkness light before them. I will make the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." I often look back with amazement at the steps that God ordered for me and the way in which he has led me, a way so different from my way. But it is enough for me to know that my steps were ordered and are ordered by Jehovah. Lead me, O God. Forsake me not. Let's cling to his promise, beloved, as did Asaph in Psalm 73, verse 24. "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, afterward to receive me in glory." Amen. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to thee that our lives are in thy sure hands, that thou dost uphold us with thy right hand, and in gentleness thou dost guide us, providing for us our every need, even when we can't see it, carefully leading us on the pathway that leads to heaven. All for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.